this is the way, this is the way. This is the way,
you
follow me.
Follow the way, you follow me.
This is the way,
this is the way, you follow me.
I am the way,
I am the way. This is the way,
this is the way,
you follow me.
I am the way, you follow me.
Lift up your hands and begin to thank Him. Thank Him for tonight. Thank Him for this. Thank Him for this divine appointment. How powerful, marvelous, wonderful is God to us.
This is the way you follow me. Follow the way you follow me. I love the way. This is the way you follow me. I love the way you follow me. This is the way you follow me. I love the way you follow me. This is the way you follow me. I love the way you follow me. This is the way you follow me. I love the way you follow me. This is the way you follow me. I love the way you follow me. This is the way you follow me. I love the way you follow me.
This is the way you follow me.
I love the way you follow me. This is the way.
You father me, I love the way you father me.
Father, we give you the praise and the honor. We give you the praise and the honor. We love you, we adore you, we magnify you. Thank you for a night like this. I ask for open heavens like never before. I ask for precision, I ask for accuracy. I ask for wisdom, I ask for revelation. I ask that the ears of your children will be open, their eyes will be open, understanding will be open, and that you will speak things to us tonight that will shape us for life. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name, give the Lord the praise as you take your seat.
Fall. The water so my soul long enough to you Lord of my heart desire bring our love to worship you. As a dead, as a dead, but before the word is so, my soul, look at us, tell you are Lord, you are Lord of my heart, desire, ring, I love to you are Lord, you are Lord, I worship, I worship to you alone, let my spirit yet. You are Lord, all my heart is mine.
To you.
Praise all your regard.
Thank you, Master. In Jesus' name. Subject tonight is the discovery of purpose. Or discovering purpose. The discovery of purpose. What a mighty, awesome word we heard from God's handmaiden. The Lord bless you for preaching such a word to us, man. In Jesus' name. Jeremiah chapter 1 and in verse 5. The Bible says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Our objective tonight is as it is. Understanding what it takes to discover one's purpose for existence. Like, you know, this is one of the most challenging things on earth. Who am I? And why am I? I'd like you to take note of the following. The greatness of everyone lies in the discovery of the purpose for which they live and their willingness to pay the price to achieve it. Again, the greatness of everyone lies in the purpose for which they live and their willingness to pay the price to achieve it. I heard a statement that sounded like that from Charles Blair. I can't remember his own statement verbatim. But nobody is great because of the car they drive. Nobody is great because of the house they live in. Somebody is great because he knows why he is alive and he is ready to pay the price to achieve that reason. So there is a purpose to know and there is a price to pay. Number two. Call these key thoughts. There are two important things in life. Finding out what God wants you to do with your life and doing it. I heard a statement that sounded like that again from Andrew Murray. I can't know exactly how he phrased it, but this could be a paraphrase. There are two important things in life. Finding out what God wants to do with your life and then doing it. Finding out the purpose of life and living that purpose. Any other thing is shadow. Finding out why I'm alive and living out that purpose. Are we together? Thirdly, the purpose of every product precedes the creation of that product. The purpose of every product precedes the creation of that product. Say it another way. Every product's purpose was predetermined before its manufacture, before its production. Every product's purpose was predetermined before it was manufactured. The purpose of every product precedes the creation of that product. Let us apply it to you. The purpose of every person precedes the creation of that person. That is, God did not create you before He decided what to do with you. He decided what to do with your life before He created you. So He said, before I formed you, I knew you. God is not doing any guesswork with anybody's life. Am I communicating? It is not after God finished creating you, then He begins to wonder what to do with your life. Every product's purpose precedes the creation of that product. Four, man's purpose is not man's decision. Man's purpose is man's discovery. Man does not decide his purpose. Man only discovers his purpose. Purpose was already decided. Man's purpose is not man's decision. Man's purpose is man's discovery. You don't decide your purpose. You only discover your purpose. It was already decided before you were born. Are we together? Number five. Association with the Creator facilitates access to purpose. Association with the Creator facilitates access to purpose. Because like Miles Monroe of Blessed Memory said, when you want to find out purpose, you don't ask the product, you ask the manufacturer. The iron will not tell you why it was created. The creator of the iron is the one to tell you. Association with the creator facilitates access to purpose, and distance from the creator equals distance from purpose. That is why you have a lot of people who could have been a thousand times better than they are today, but they are very far from God. You see someone giving the voice almost like the voice of an angel, using it to drag people to hell in a contrary counter purpose. When Peter aligned with the master, he aligned with purpose. Are you ready for this? Alignment with the master is alignment with assignment. When you align with the master, you are in alignment with your assignment. After this point, the next point is going to become more drastic. Number six. Purpose happens for the desperate. Purpose happens for those who are unwilling to continue business as usual. Who are the people who get access to purpose the most? Who are the people who get to know the reason why they are alive the most? Desperate people. People who are unwilling to continue business as usual. People like Paul the Apostle that will say that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He said that I may apprehend that for which I was apprehended. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 10 all the way to verse 14. He said, I want to catch why he caught me. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained. Either we are already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ. I want you to read for me New Living Translation of that verse 12. Or the New Living, or the Living Bible. There is one translation that puts it very radical. I think it's the Living Bible. I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Get the Living Bible, TLB. Or the Good News Bible. But I keep walking toward the day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. I am walking towards the day. I am walking towards the day where I will become the reason why he saved me. I do not claim to have already succeeded or have already become perfect. I keep striving to win the prize for which Christ himself already won me to himself. Please look at that particular one. That I may catch the reason why he caught me. I was on the road to Damascus and then all of a sudden my journey was interrupted. I want to find that reason. Right? That's right. Thank you, NIV. Not that I have already obtained all this or I have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I want to catch why he caught me. I want to take hold of why he took hold of me. I want to arrest why he arrested me. Drastic things happen for desperate people. Take your seat. Am I communicating at all? I mean, there are those who are comfortable and normal to continue business as usual. As a growing up young man in my early 20s, the teens, senior teens and early 20s, my most desperate passion of life was not cloth, was not food, was not shoes. It wasn't even life partner. I knew of my colleagues and friends at that time, all they were interested in is who to marry. Life partner. What is the use marrying a person to accomplish you to fulfill no purpose? You are inviting somebody to join you to achieve nothing. For many of those guys, the relationship didn't work anywhere. It didn't work out, nothing. They were burdens and luggages on each other. I'm telling you the truth. I know one who married Muslim eventually. My most desperate passion is, Lord, may I not waste my life. May I not come to the end of my journey in this life and realize that I pursued the wrong thing? May I not pour my energy in the wrong direction? Show me the direction to pour my life's energy. Show me that direction to waste myself. God will not bother you with what does not bother you. Take your seat, write it down. He will not bother you with what does not bother you. You can never have harvest where you don't have interest. I am very much aware that insight
is a product of interest, then shall we know if we follow on to know. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3. So purpose happens for the desperate. People who are unwilling to continue business as usual. People who feel completely useless outside of purpose. People who are completely disinterested in the regular life outside purpose. One of the plagues of youth in our generation is the plague of aimlessness. Just moving with the Joneses, like they say, yo man, what's going on man? Sagging trouser, jump up trouser, whatever it is that is considered popular is what to follow. No mind of their own. It's a plague of aimlessness. As a young man in my 20s, I was already counseling people who are married. I knew how to be married without being married yet. And 27 years of being married has proved that what I knew then was authentic. Hallelujah. But you will never miss it. Purpose happens for those who are desperate, who are unwilling to continue business as usual, who feel completely wasted and useless outside of purpose, who are uninterested in living the regular life outside of purpose. Number 7. Purpose happens for those who are not struggling to be like everyone else. Those who are not struggling to be like everyone else. You know, because there are people today in our world, their greatest struggle is how to be like other people. Like children used to say, copy, copy. There are people, you would have been, there are so many people, they are never original at all. They as if their greatest achievement is, how can I be like everybody? Or do what everybody is. I mean, they're just passionate for that. The reason why Joseph could not miss out was because he was always different. In Genesis chapter 37 verse 2, how different Joseph was clear by the fact that his 11 brothers had a life that was different from his. So he always brought a report of the 11 to their father. He was completely different. Purpose happens for those who are not struggling to be like everyone else. Number 8, purpose happens for those who are not afraid to be different or not afraid to do things differently. Purpose happens for those who are not afraid to be different. I would have missed a lot of things in my life if I follow the way people say things should be done. For example, there are ways I like to sing. There are ways I like to play my instrument. Peter, do you have the aerophone or the instrument here? There are things, there are ways I like to do my own things. Just hold it for me. And then someone told me, nobody sings like that. Don't sing like that. At the beginning of Dr. Miss Enchesa, they almost killed her head voice. See, that is not a good singing voice. Meanwhile, that is the uppermost range of voice.
Why are you singing falsetto?
Sing it again. Sing a song. And sing it. Sing her.
With the Lord, I can't be naked.
Somebody say, no, 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 don't sing like that, don't sing like that, don't sing like that. Sing real voice, sing real voice.
You use falsetto throughout the singing.
Meanwhile, that is her register of singing. And with that, she can actually escape and escape far off. Hit 6th, 7th octave singing. We should not do that. You see, there are people who, until you do it the way they do it, they think you are not it. I'm telling you, in my potentials were almost killed.
Lord, you are.
Somebody says, I shouldn't slur like that. I'd like you to listen to this. Did you enjoy that? Listen again. Somebody say, don't do that. Peter, they ask, don't do that. Why are you picking the notes? Sing it straight. I say, that is my style. I enjoy it. That I like it that way. Hey! You can sing it straight. That is why there is a legato, there is staccato, there is vibrato. And I call one stretchato. An act so that people can express themselves. Nobody shall destroy your potential. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. Take your seat. That is what I mean. My purpose happens for those.
I enter the Holy of Holies. I enter to the blood of the Lamb.
I don't want anything to limit me. If I have any challenge down, I fly up. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Many of us, we listen to people until we became something else. Something different from whatever God wanted you to be. You listen to people until you became something else. Is God speaking to anybody here today at all? If nobody has done it that way before, who says that you couldn't be the first to do it that way? Where was it written? Take your seat. Peter Sachs has been playing saxophone for donkey years. One time in our office, we were doing rehearsal, and I did something. What did you do like that? Do it again. Personal expression. Heard from nobody, learned it from nobody. That is what purpose is all about. That God is looking up to you to release the unique expression of himself through you. Purpose happens for those who are not afraid to do things differently. Number 9. Purpose happens for those who don't have a choice in the matter. That is, God, I don't want to tell you what you want to do with my life. God, I don't want to tell you. I don't want to decide what you created me for. Purpose happens for those who don't have a choice in the matter. Luke chapter 22 verse 42. Luke 22, 42, he said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. No choice in the matter. Oh, Lord, take me to the place where I have no will. God is separate from your will. Oh Lord, take me to the place where I have no choice. God is separate from your choice. To be lost in you is my desire. To be all for you is all I want. Purpose happens. Lord! And that will lead me to point number 10. That is number 10. Purpose happens for those who can trust the plan of God for their lives. When you don't have a choice in the matter, it means you can trust the plan of God for your life. You can trust that God will not do you bad. You can trust that God will not mismanage your life. For I know the thoughts I think towards you. Jeremiah 29:11. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. It happens for those who can trust the plan of God for their lives. Those who will trust that God will not mismanage their lives. There are people who suspect God. But there are people who suspect God. They suspect him. He may have other people. He may love other people more than me. He may have something better for others than for me. I think God prefers some people to me. They suspect God. And when you are in such a position, you will never find God's purpose, because you will never believe that God has your best of interest at his heart. If you can come to this point where you have no choice in the matter, and you can come to the point where you are not suspecting God, where you believe that God will not mismanage your destiny, he won't waste your life, then you can plunge in with two legs like Peter. Master, if you are the one calling me to come, ask me. And he jumped with two legs into the water with the assurance that he won't sink in the water. And he never sank. Am I communicating? When God sent Jonah to Nineveh, Jonah decided to go to Tarshish. He almost lost his life. Almost lost it. Everything in the ship was lost. God sent him to Joppa. Sorry, to Nineveh. He decided to go to Joppa and found the ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare. Whenever you go where God is not sending you, you pay for it. He paid the fare. When you take a journey of life and destiny that God has not sent you, you pay for it. Even those around Jonah were losing because Jonah was in with them. Because he was inside the ship, they had to empty the load in the ship and threw everything overboard and cast them in the water. It is not only enough not to be a Jonah, it is dangerous to hang around a Jonah. Because you suffer losses with them. Am I communicating? You suffer losses with them. Take your seat. If it was not for God, Jonah was a goner. They threw him, but God in his mercy prepared fish that swallowed up Jonah. Jonah was a victim when he was going in the direction that is not God. Jonah became a champion when he arrived at the place of his assignment. From the king of Nineveh to the animals in the land, everybody heeded the message of Jonah. You can only be tolerated when you are out of purpose. And you are celebrated when you are in the midst of purpose. Take your seat. Hear this. It doesn't matter how colorful man's plans are. They can never be as wonderful as the plans of God for man. That is, it doesn't matter how colorful your own plan for yourself is. They can never be as wonderful as the plan of God for your life. Growing up with colleagues and friends at various levels, university level, secondary level, primary level, I knew of those who felt that we were wasting our life and going with God the way we went. But see where the waste has brought us today. The waste of life. I'm not struggling to see any mortal on earth. I'm not struggling. And there is no mortal on earth today that we want to say we can't see. They say that everybody is 4 people away from anybody in the world. That is, you know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows that person. But the higher you go, the shorter the journey becomes. A point comes where we are just 1 person away from anybody. Am I communicating? If only you can just trust God. That God doesn't have a wrong interest for me. God is not wishing me bad. When my wife was to marry me, there were those who looked down on her. Just looked at her like she lost her mind. Friends, colleagues, and several other people were marrying people that were, in quote unquote, bigger in size and bigger in many ways. This is a young man, just graduated from the university not too long, living in doctor's quarters, doesn't even have a set of furniture for himself. Just doctor's quarters, and you say you want to marry the guy. And yes, this guy has nothing but fire, passion, vision, purpose, mantle. But she knew what she heard. She knew what she felt. And she knew how convinced she was. And she knew what she saw. They thought she was going to suffer for marrying this guy. And I think she's suffering now. That is how to suffer. Let everybody suffer like that. I wish such suffering for everybody. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Am I communicating at all? I am emphasizing that last point because it is very, very important. It happens for those who can trust the plan of God for their lives. Who will trust that God will not mismanage their lives? That is what takes you to the place of prayer. That is what takes you to the place of trusting God to receive from Him. And having said that, what is the means by which purpose can be discovered? Number one, true revelation, vision, or direction. True revelation, vision, or direction. Habakkuk chapter 2 and in verse 1 all the way to verse 3. He said, I will stand upon my watch, I set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. I will stand upon the tower and I will watch to see. And as I watched, I saw. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26 and in verse 19. Paul the Apostle said, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. This is one of the ways in which clarity can come. You saw yourself in the classroom as a university professor. You saw yourself inside an aircraft as a pilot flying. You saw yourself in a medical establishment setting, giving direction, big hospital setting. You saw yourself ministering from the pulpit. I never saw that. I never saw one single vision of standing on the altar preaching before I stepped into ministry. So that was not one of the ways in which I received this call. But that is possible. Or you saw yourself just a vision, a revelation, a direction, a dream of the night that gives you peace, that can be scripturally confirmed and scripturally proven. It's one of the ways. Number two is through passion and burden of the heart. Where a passion, a burden. When Nehemiah heard that the wall of Jerusalem was broken down, in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned 7 days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. A burden, a weight of heart. That problem that makes you restless is connected to your assignment on the earth. He wept. If there is ever a thing that makes you weep, there may be a link to your assignment with that thing that makes you weep. Whether literally or metaphorically, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Wept at the tomb of Lazarus. In Acts chapter 7 verse 23, and when he was full 40 years, that is Moses now, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And then he saw one of them suffer wrong and so on and so forth. What comes into your heart that will not let you rest may have something to do with what you are to do with your life. Am I communicating? Charles Giffin said, the unutterable gushings of my heart are behind the secret of this ministry. Weight of heart, burden. Other people can see it and be normal, but you are not. Other people can joke about it, but for you it is not a joke. Am I communicating? That thing that bothers you so much, you feel like if I have all the resources in this world, I would like to do something about this thing, may have a hand in what you are to do with your life. One young man said the story where he was going to the farm one day in the village, and he saw a poor, wretched family inside a thatched house in the village somewhere in the east. And they were so poor. Young boy on the way to the stream. And he said, Lord, when I grow up, if I have money, these are the kind of people I like to help. I want to have money and help these kind of people. He grew up to be a billionaire. Developer in properties. And to the best of my knowledge, as at the last time I knew, he had a lot of people on his payroll that were being helped out of poverty. Am I communicating? Your heart is connected to your mark. Where you have the heart, there you will make a mark. These things are clear. And I am not talking about something you try to work out. I am talking about something that is there, whether you like it or not. Something that is just there. Thirdly, by potentials and gifting. Your potentials and your gifting are the vehicle to your destiny. The gift of a man maketh room for him and bringeth him into greatness. I think Dr. Bissanenche read that for us. Was that Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16? Bringeth him before greatness. Joseph's gifting of dreaming and interpretation of dreams took him to the palace. David's gifting of the instrument in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 17. All the way to verse 21, took him to the palace. Your gift. What comes to you naturally that others may need to go to school to study has a link with something you will do in your life. Am I communicating? Your potential, your gift. Number four. Through affection and love. What you love to do may be connected to what you will live to do. This is different from the burden now. This is different from the revelation now. This is different from the potential now. This is just something that there is just a passionate love. I met a young man the other day going to America to study. And I asked him, what are you going to study there? He says, he's going to study veterinary medicine. And I know there is veterinary medicine in Nigeria. And I was wondering, why veterinary medicine all the way to America? Why do you want to study veterinary medicine? He says, I love animals and I love to take care of them. I said, really? You're on the right path. You love animals? You love the goat, the cow, the cat, the dog, and all of them. You love them. He said, and I love to take care of them. I said, you're on the right path. Go ahead. You're on the right path. What you love to do may be connected to what you are to live doing. Take yourself. Joseph will never be comfortable to see people sad. He loved to distribute joy. He loved to distribute encouragement. In Genesis chapter 40 from verse 5, 6, 7, 8, he was ministering to the butler and the baker when he saw them sad. And when God saw such love in the heart of Joseph, you know what he did? God positioned him over the whole of Egypt so he can love the people and take care of them. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. Jesus moved with love. He saw the multitude. Love filled his heart for them. He healed them. He loved the sick so much.
He couldn't stand to do any other thing but to heal them. There is a love, always a love in your heart for any area of assignment you will have. Seed of Destiny of Sunday, we talk about Kenneth Copeland in the days of the Second World War. Towards the end of the war, you see, he would lie on, he was a small boy then, he would lie on his back, face the air, and be looking at the fighter jets flying, and imagining himself inside the aircraft. And say, I'm the one flying in there. Today, he has flown and trained everybody, even trained his wife to fly. I knew a woman. He said, as a little girl, she always enjoyed arranging books in the house. She grew up to become literally more like a book merchant. Christian books. Arranging books. One of the foremost property developers in America. Skyscrapers everywhere as a child. He will be arranging blocks on each other. Little toy blocks. What are you building? I'm building skyscrapers. Am I communicating? By affection and love. Number five, by the true discretion and inspiration. There is an area where there seems to be some natural wisdom, knowledge or idea. That area might be connected to your life's assignment. Exodus chapter 28 and in verse 3. Exodus chapter 28 and in verse 3. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he might minister unto me in the priest's office. These people were loaded with wisdom, and that wisdom was connected to their assignment. Exodus 31 and in verse 1 to 3. Exodus 31 verse 1 to 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled thee with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. In this case, it wasn't that there was just a potential, but there is a wisdom, there is a knowledge, there is divine idea, divine inspiration in a particular line. And that inspiration remains. That inspiration remains. There may be a connection to that inspiration and your assignment. Am I communicating? Many years ago, a woman who was owing a lot of debt, I think it was in area 1 UTC here, she was owing like 3 or 4 or 5 months rent on the shop. I asked her in the office, I said, what can you do? She said, I can cook in aluminium foil paper, even though she didn't read catering. He said, but, and she was married, but the husband left her with 5 children. She said, in those days, when my husband's friends and visitors came to the house, when they ate the food, they didn't remain anything in the plate. In fact, you know, there are some food some people eat. It's almost as if they should eat the plate alongside and almost cut their hand with the food. Alright, go ahead and start. Now she started cooking the food and packing in aluminum foil paper, selling from office to office. When people tasted the food, who is selling this food? Long story made short. She began to sell in the bank. The bank said, come and establish a restaurant for us. Other bankers that came to this bank to do transaction ate the food and said, come and establish in our bank. Long story made short. In a short time, she bought the shop that she couldn't pay rent on. That same shop, she bought it. and exploded by something she was knowledgeable to do. That wasn't necessarily her area of training, but knowledgeable. She was wise in it. Am I communicating? Take your seat. So there is, take your seat. There is something about what you are wise in, what you are knowledgeable in, that is where you have a divine idea, flash of inspiration, that is connected to what you can do with your life. Somebody say amen. But I don't want anybody to be like that manager who used to sell pepper soup near our house in Benue State in those days. I know, and on the way to one of the hospitals, you know, to go there, Salem Hospital, the man is there selling his pepper soup. The challenge is that he loves the meat more than those he wants to sell it to. That's not the type of love I'm talking about. Every time you are passing, his mouth is moving. He is the first beneficiary of the pepper soup. At the end of the day, the shop closed down. He ate it up. He ate all of it up. That is not the type I'm talking about. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Is anybody getting anything at all? Some of us, at times, the education you acquired for some can be a distraction. Alright? You are struggling to function in what you studied, and yet it looks like it is something else that you'll be doing with your life. One of the things I know of education is that it sharpens your mentality. Whatever course you read, it just sharpens your mind to be ready for life. But for others, the course you read went to arm you further in the line of your life assignment. It's just armed. The knowledge just escalated the natural knowledge inside. Natural wisdom inside. It just exploded it. Like I know some medical doctors, it looks like they were born with medicine. Lawyers. Those kind of people. So take your seat. But that area of your knowledge, your discretion, your inspiration can be an area of your life assignment. Number 6 is through external observation and confirmation. There are times where a role model, a father figure, either physical or spiritual, a friend, someone who really has you at heart, can observe you and just say things in passing. There are some that even speak by prophetic inspiration. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 18 verse 16 that in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses every word may be established. So these are like witnesses. But for most times, that is why I call it external observation, external confirmation. When I was growing up, one of my senior brothers, he looked at me and said, the way you use words, you play with words, the way you use words, you can take words and do anything with words. He said, in all likelihood, you are going to be speaking a lot. You will talk to people. He thought, will you be a lecturer, a professor or something? But you'll be talking to a lot of people. That was his observation then. He didn't know that I was going to be teaching and preaching and mentoring and doing all of that. But he was observing it at that time. When I grew up, when I was a little bit, my mother observed some things. She said one time, she and somebody were talking and something. And I came as a little boy and then out of, just randomly said something. Little boy,
And they were wondering, how did you know? And she kept all of that in her heart and kept on observing. Take your seat. Take your seat. So, somebody may just observe. I see a lot of compassion with needy people around your life. You may have something to do with a lot of needy people, helping people from charity work and so on and so on. Somebody may observe that for you. But I want to sound a clear warning. That should not be the primary means of direction. That should just serve as a confirmation. It doesn't matter how prophetic anybody is. Don't let anybody's prophecy lead you into purpose. For example, don't let anybody prophesy you to become a pastor. Otherwise, you may need his physical presence to fulfill the ministry. Don't allow anybody prophesy you into a marriage. Otherwise, you may need them in the marriage to make it work. When it comes to what somebody said, let it be limited to confirmation. And if anybody has said anything to you and you don't feel a confirmation in the spirit, just put it in the shelf until you feel a confirmation. Am I speaking to somebody at all? This is the way I feel. I didn't offend God. Why should he bypass me to talk to my brother to come and tell me? Even if he cannot talk to me the way he's talking to him, there is a way he can talk to me that I will know. Somebody say amen. Take your seat. Because we have a lot of prophets these days. We have even what they call parking lot prophet in America. Where somebody sees you in the car park after service. The Lord has been talking to me about you. Hallelujah. Shaka pakataka satilo brothers. There is an old woman in your village. Is there any village where there is no old woman? And this old woman is not too tall, it's not too short. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. There are parking lot prophets. Don't hand over your destiny to anybody's prophecy. Otherwise, you have yourself to blame. Can I tell you this? And don't forget it for as long as you live. God will not hold anybody responsible. For what you agreed to hear. He will hold you responsible. Let me say the opposite now. God will not hold you responsible for what anybody claimed to hear on your behalf. Because there are those who will threaten you. God says, if you don't do what I am saying now, you are gone. God says you have only 7 days to obey this instruction. Yeah, yeah. Don't let anybody terrify you with such a useless, God said, he gives you 7 days. And his God is telling somebody he's giving me 7 days, and God can't tell me who has the 7 days to comply with. Take your seat. Let me show you something. Take your seat. How many of you remember the man of God from Judah? 2 Kings chapter 13. Where God sent him to come and prophesy on the altar in Bethel against King Jeroboam. And he prophesied, and the altar split into two. And the king lifted his hand to slap him, and the hand of the king suspended in the air. And the king begged before the man's hand came down. And this man of God, with very brutal anointing, was on his way back. When the old prophet
from old prophet in Bethel, sent and said, call that man to come to my house and eat food. And the man of God from Judah said, God said to me, I should come and deliver this message and I should not branch any house. I should return back the way I came. Have you read that passage before? I think it's 1 Kings 13. Can you check it and place the right scripture? And when this man said, God said I shouldn't branch any house, the wicked old prophet, people beware of old prophet. The wicked old prophet said, an angel of the Lord told me that you should come to my house and eat. Listen, what God told you directly and what somebody claimed that angel told him. Hello? For you, it was God who told you. And concerning your life, and the other person say, angel is talking to him concerning you. Which one is heavier? He discarded what God told him directly in the favor of what somebody say angel told them. That was his death. The moment he sat on the table and began to eat, the same old prophet began to prophesy to him on that dining table. Thus saith the Lord, you disappointed me. You disobeyed me. On your way now, you are going to die. The bitterness of the old prophet. The bitterness was, how will I be in this town? And God should send a young man to come and do the assignment. And he plotted his death. And never be moved by accuracy or prophecy. Because people miss God and still prophesy accurate. That was why he was still talking from God after he lied to the man. He was still talking from God because the gift may be perfect. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God did not spare him because somebody deceived him. God dealt with him because he did not take responsibility for what God told him. That was why I said, God will not hold you responsible for what somebody said God told them about you. But God will hold you responsible for what he told you himself. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. I'm rounding off now. Is anybody getting anything tonight? So, that's external observation and external confirmation. The final and number 7 is scriptural illumination. That is, out of the Bible, out of the scripture. God showed you something from the Bible that just answered the question of your life and destiny. Psalm 119 verse 105. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 130. The entrance of thy word giveth light and understanding to the simple. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 8. The Lord sent a word into Jacob and he lighted upon Israel. You are studying the Bible. All of a sudden, something just tore open and you saw your life assignment out of scripture. Now I want to let you know the most authentic form of prophecy is the one that came out of the word. You can stick your life on it. Forever. Oh God, thy word is settled. You thought you were reading a passage, but God was
speaking to you from the passage. The other day I saw a passage. And I've been seeing this and I've been... And God just opened up something to me that all these years it never crossed my mind. Scriptural illumination. These seven sources, there will be more, but we'll limit ourselves to this for today. Revelation, direction, vision, passion, burden of the heart, potentials and giftings, affection and love, discretion and inspiration, external observation and confirmation, which we dealt with appropriately, and scriptural illumination. Question is, suppose I find in my life different things that I know to do. Which one do I face? That is what takes you before God. There is something we call master purpose. That is what I call master purpose. And then, what you might now call incidental assignments. There is something that is the main core purpose of your life. Now, if you know how to do many things, all those many things can find expression inside the master purpose. For example, I have the calling as a minister of the gospel. Take your seat. I won't get into the details of my calling now because I don't need to advertise who I am before you know what I am. And inside that calling, there is a worship mantle, a song receiving, songwriting mantle, a worshipper's mantle, a music mantle that flows in expression in that same platform. I have a charity's assignment, touching lives, wiping tears from widows and orphans, is still garnished under that master platform. We are raising generation as in education. They did an assessment accreditation 2 or 3 days ago, and our school here, I think, got 91%. Or so, and became the number 2 school accreditation in this whole territory. And it was just one laboratory. There was just something that needed to be there and would have been number 1. We are doing that. In a short while to come, a university out of this commission will be raised. Very, very shortly. And that is all. Mega, maybe 7-star hospital that would delete the need for flying around the world to look for help. At least in this locality, it's on the way coming. And then you have several of the other things, all roped inside the master purpose. Hear this. At times when you are stepping into that master purpose, the other incidental assignments are not yet clear. Some are not even yet there. But you start the journey first. God told Abraham, from where you are, look. So the journey begins where you are. Where you are, with what you can do. After you have gone before God and you have prayed and this weighs the heaviest in your heart, you start where you are with what you have, with what you can do. And faithfulness at this level brings increase to the next level. You may say, I'm called to be a man of God. Start serving inside the church as a counselor. Start serving in the prayer department. And start where you are. And if you are faithful in the little,
then God can promote you to the most. Am I communicating at all? I told you that I never saw one vision or dream of me standing in front of crowd, preaching to crowds before I stepped into ministry. I never saw one. But God led me in other areas. It never crossed my mind that there would be something called a song received and written. It didn't cross in the dream that will ever happen in my ministry, in our ministry. And that came up. But you started where you are. You began to function in faithfulness. And as you are faithful at this level, increase comes. You are faithful at this level, increase comes. You are faithful at this level, more is trusted into your hands. You will never miss it. Stand up on your feet. Please remain where you are, especially those on the gallery, and just give me 5 minutes. Anybody blessed? Are their questions answered? Abraham's servant said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. I, being in the way, that will be Genesis chapter 24. Locate the verse for me. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Be in the way of something. Be in the way. Just take step in the way of divine assignment. Be in the way. Be in the way. Don't sit redundant and complacent. At least there is something you know to do. Serve the Lord your God. Live for Him. And be in the way. And while you are in the way, Jehovah will lead you. Let me announce to you, I did not miss it. You will not miss it. We did not miss it. You will not miss it. We are still on the way, discovering more and more things God wants us to do with our lives. You will never miss it. Lift. Yes, that's right. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham. Genesis 24, 27. Who has not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me. You cannot be in the way and miss the leading. Take the steps. I being in the way, the Lord led me. You cannot be in the way and miss the leading. Be in the way. Be in the way. Do what is expected of you to do. Take the steps you are expected to take. And the Lord will lead you. Lift up your two hands.
Wherever you may lead, Lord, I will follow you. Your will be done in my life. I have no will of my own. Wherever you lead, Lord, I will follow you. Your will be done in my life. I have no will of my own. Wherever you lead, Lord, I will follow you. Your will be done in my life. I have no will of my own.
Take the lead, O Lord. Take the lead, O Lord. I'll follow you. Take the lead. Take the lead, O Lord.
I will follow you.
Take the lead, O Lord. Take the lead, O Lord. I'll follow you.
I will follow you.
I will follow you.
Take the lead, O Lord.
Oh, take the lead, O Lord. I'll follow you.
I will follow you.
Take the lead, O Lord.
Oh, take the lead, O Lord.
I will follow you.
I will follow you.
Take the lead, O Lord.
Take the lead, O Lord.
I'll follow you.
I will follow you.
I will follow you.
Lift up your hands now, people, with all the passion you possess.
Father, not what I want, but what you want. Let your purpose in my life come to pass. Lift your hands and lift your voice and say, Father, not what I want, but what you want. Let your purpose for my life be fulfilled. Help me, Lord, not to miss you in the land of the living. Help me, Lord, not to miss you. Help me, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray.
Breda kosolo breda ketela barada gada ya pana gada ile peroko papala gabarada da bagaba ya takala babarada eshigo babala breda gedo barada bagada bala ile breda ke kolo barada gabana na mama na nasa ile toporo do koko topile gedo bogos ila barada kasata la barada gagado ishelo brega di marata de gasini le prodo bide gara baba baba bogo ile ko barada go baba 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 ile breda ke gedo bogo baba Barada, Ishila Baba Yopra Hila Tina, Hila Barada Baba Barada Bagabala Barada, Hila Petra Kushanda Bayaka Labarada, Hila Pega Gada Bega.
Lift your hands high, higher, far above your head, high, high, high above your head. Lift it up.
Take the lead, O Lord, I'll follow you. Take the lead, O Lord, I'll follow you. Take the lead, O Lord, I'll follow you. I will follow you.
Lift your hands high. In the name of Jesus, the hands are high and lifted. I know altar calls have been taken twice today, but if you want to make it really right with Jesus, and you have not done that yet, quickly pick your Bibles and bags and step forward here and let us receive you quickly. While others' hands are lifted, Pastor, I really want to find my purpose in life and I don't want any trace of sin to distract me and take me off. Go ahead.
Take the lead, O Lord.
Everywhere. Those of you in the frontier, stay after me, Lord Jesus. Say it, Lord Jesus. I come before you today to ask for forgiveness for my sins Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. Forward ever. Backward never. Help me to live for you, Lord. Help me to do your will, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for you today. I declare health from above be released upon you. In Jesus' precious name. Lift up your two hands everywhere.
Take a little love. I follow you. Take a little love. I will follow you. Take a little love. I follow you.
Lift your hands high. Father, bless these hands. Stretch your hands on the hands of your children this time. Lift it up, yes. And let their hands become a point of contact to your hands tonight as you lay your hands upon them for direction. You know, as a minstrel minister, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. That hand gave him direction. In 2 Kings chapter 3 and in verse 15. Now it is impossible for people to be touched one by one, but the hand of the Lord is going to flow through your own hands now and lay upon you for direction. Lift it high now. Father, flow through their hands. When I say one, you bring it ground down slowly. When I say two, you bring it down again slowly. Three, four. By the time I reach seven, it is on it, right on your head. And you begin to blast in tongues. Lift it high. Father, as their hands reach down to them, let direction come. Now, come overnight. Come in this season. One. Three, four, five, that's right, six, ready, seven,
yes, that's right, that's right, that's right, that's right. Something is happening everywhere. So, oh, have that here right in the middle there. Something is happening everywhere. Open your mouth and pray in the spirit. Something is happening everywhere. Something is happening everywhere. Something is happening everywhere. Something is happening everywhere.
Il est prédégué de Borodomina, il a pas d'ailleurs de Sotolo, et la garada.